Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day. We had a wonderful service, Father's Day service. Boy, as I look around this room, I see people that grew up in an age where we were taught that there was always a way to fix something. All we had to do was find a solution and work diligently to apply that solution to the problem. And voila, things got better. Our mamas and our daddies taught us these things. They wanted us to be productive and they wanted us to get along. My engineering training only strengthened the teachings of my mom and dad. I was taught that if I worked the problem using the right algorithm with the right parameters, I would get the right answer. If I didn't do this, I would get a big red X on the problem and a zero. In my career in sales and marketing, it was all about figuring out the way to have the best and fastest product and convincing the customer that he or she really needed was our product to build their product with. Once one worked really hard on the problem at hand, and sometimes that solution worked out and sometimes it didn't. Somebody else got the order. So onward and upward, we marched off to the next quest. When I started in seminary, this was a real problem for me. It was a real problem. There was no standard algorithms for writing papers or doing theological reflection, nor were there any convenient parameters to plug into to get the right answer. In fact, there were no right answers. The trick was in how one justified what their premise was and what they were writing about. So you stated a hypothesis at the beginning of the paper, and then how you justified that hypothesis, how you explained it. It wasn't like A plus B is equal to C, or 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. It was a different process. And it was a different way of thinking for me. And it took me a long time in seminary to figure it out. So Jesus, he teaches in parables. In this week's gospel, we have two parables given to us that we can see things in a different light, much in the same way I had to learn in seminary. One preacher says, parables open windows into our hearts and minds where invigorating and life-giving air can blow through and refresh our minds, just like this air is blowing through these windows, and there, this air is refreshing us, right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, I got to hear that. I got to know that you're listening, all right? In the case of the farmer, well, let's see, where was it? These parables open our eyes so we can see the kingdom of God is not like solving an engineering problem, but more like writing and reflecting theologically. In case of the farmer who scatters the seed in the field and waits, we may think he is lazy because he does nothing to help the seeds grow. He eats, he sleeps, and he waits for the wheat to grow. Then he harvests the crop. When one thinks about it, what is it that he can do to make that seed grow? He can put some water on it, of course, and weed, take the weeds up. I mean, those are practical things. The genetics of growth, how seeds grow, are inside the seed. They grow by forming a relationship with the sun and the soil and the moisture around it. The farmer is smart. He knows he cannot do anything but sow the seed and tend to his garden and let nature, and read that as Mother Nature or God, do the rest. Essentially, his job is done when the seed is scattered, and he shows great patience and is going about his daily routine until the harvest time. The great mustard plant grows up from the smallest of seeds. The genes for this growth were in the seed from the beginning. All that is needed is for the seed to be put in the soil and form its relationship with the earth and the sun to grow into a magnificent plant. The plant that provides food and a place for the birds to feed and to nest and rest. In our world today, we have to work hard to make a living so that we can have food and shelter and clothing and take care of our families, enjoy a vacation now and then, and have a comfortable retirement. These parables, however, are not about the way our world works. They are about the way the kingdom of God works. Sometimes we let our ideas about our world get confused with the ways of the kingdom of God. The word kingdom even restricts the greatness of what God is making new among us. Kingdom is more of a place than a state of being. The word that the Bible uses in Greek that we translate into kingdom is really more dynamic than kingdom. It's a more dynamic word. It is more like the English word reign. R-E-I-G-N, reign, the reign of God. Reign is a state of being where God is ever present. A place where we sow the seeds of love and God turns, in turn, creates something new in the people around us. We do not do that converting. That's God's job. We do not make new Christians. We merely follow Jesus' command to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And St. Paul puts it this way: if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything becomes new. Also in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he reminds us that we should walk by faith and not by sight. And we should regard no one from a human point of view. And I might add, no thing from a human point of view. When we see a seed sprouting from the ground, the only thing human about it is the planting of the seed. The rest of the process was put into the seed by God, and it is by God that it takes its shape and grows into a stalk of wheat or a majestic flower. The gospel is a call for us to literally take a break. Once we have sown the seeds of love, we do sit back and wait for God to create that something new in God's realm around us. As a matter of faith, we do not convert people to believe in God. We do not bring people to Christ. By our words and actions, we sow the seeds of faith, and by the grace of God, those seeds sprout in the hearts of those in whom we touch. People encounter the love of God through how we treat them. God's love is found in our relationships with others. This is how we plant the seeds that bring about transformation of another's heart through the grace of God. When we begin to practice how to sow these seeds to love right, the seeds of love right here in our own community, when we respect each other, when we can be patient with someone that we disagree with, we can work together to rebuild our church, answering the leadership's requests for help. Believe it or not, we are all in this together. We are all in this together. And the seeds of respect and kindness we plant among us grow into great plants of benefits to all of our community, to our community here at St. Mary's. No matter how small the things we do to plant the seeds of faith and respect by showing people God's love, they at some time may just grow into magnificent expressions of God's grace in the lives of others. The farmer in the gospel is going about his life trusting in God to transform the seeds of wheat into a harvest to provide for his family. His work is the sowing and the harvesting. Our work in the reign of God is sowing the seeds of faith by trusting in God's grace that they will transform the lives of others and in turn transform our lives. Amen.